Hello and welcome to the second episode of Outside the Box. We're back after a refreshing half-term break. I'm Leo and I'm here today with...
Balthazar.
Joe.
Charlie.
And Oscar.
In today's podcast, we'll be picking our best England 11, reviewing the two European finals and looking back at the Azerbaijan Grand Prix and sharing our thoughts on the Lions squad.
So guys, should we start with football? Obviously, the Euros is coming up next week. And Joe, what are you thinking on that?
Well, it's going to be exciting, and I don't know, it's going to be tough to decide a winner. There's so many great teams competing, and like so many players who can just perform so well.
Yeah, cool. I mean, the big question is it coming home, Balthazar?
No, I don't think so. I think it's going to go to someone in Group F, whether it's France, Portugal, or Germany. I think those are the real strong teams for the this Euros.
England's team is pretty strong.
Yeah.
You got to believe.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of players from the England squad play from rivaling teams in England.
Yeah, same.
So there can be a lot of like contrast and rivalry between them.
Yeah, but at least they'll know how each other plays because they've played against each other and they could recognise like a style from that.
And you should see each other and see them in the camps. They're so close together. Like in the videos on YouTube, they look like such a tight unit.
Yeah, I mean, also, I mean, I have to say with like the French team, the majority of them play for one or two, three clubs. So they obviously have that slight advantage as they play together on a normal like base. And for example, you have Mbappe from PSG, you have all the defenses practically PSG. You have people like Martial, and you have all these players are playing for relatively similar teams. And you have those like link-up plays, if you want to call it.
Well, I think we're going to start reviewing the England squad for the Euros. So here are the players who got cut from the provisional squad. Jesse Lingard, Ollie Watkins, Anne Ramsdale, Ben Godfrey, James Ward-Prowse, Mason Greenwood, due to injury he had to leave, and Trent also due to injury. And Ben White from Brighton surprisingly got Trent's place over James Ward-Prowse.
I didn't know that, but yeah, that is surprising.
Yeah, I mean,
Ben Ward-Prowse, such a good player.
Yeah.
James, sorry.
Yeah, I mean, think of all the fouls Grealish and Rashford and players like that would draw, and then Ward-Prowse on the free kicks will be so strong in set pieces and all.
I mean, he would be a great player for the free kicks, but I mean, we've got quite a lot of free kick takers, such as Kieran Trippier. Who, I mean, we can all remember that time where he did that amazing free kick in like the fourth minute of the semi-finals of the World Cup.
That was an amazing free kick.
Yeah.
It's also quite surprising they have a lot of right-backs, three right-backs in the team now.
It's
quite a lot of defence.
I mean, very strong right-backs as well.
The fact that he picked four in the first place, is a joke.
I mean, you got to feel sorry for Trent, though.
Yeah.
I mean, personally, I'd start Reece James.
Yeah, I agree. He was amazing
in the Champions League final.
Yeah, honestly, I think he could have won Man of the Match over Kante.
No, definitely not.
No, Kante was too good.
Mm. Walker is just outstanding and he has a lot of experience as well. So
yeah, Walker's good.
I reckon Walker's more of a centre-back for England, though.
Yeah, because I mean, in the team, there's a lot of young players and like not a lot of experience. And you need a more experienced player in a centre-back and more of a leading position.
Yeah.
Think of it like a Sergio Ramos of England kind of thing.
He's a good like attacking player as well as defending, though.
Yeah,
which
I agree.
Gives him good qualities, that. And then should we move on to the Champions League? We can come back to Euros if you want.
All right, then. Let's go to the Champions League. And what a result for Chelsea. 1-0.
Wow. Amazing.
That was amazing.
And we had someone in the stadium. Balthazar, what was the atmosphere like?
It was immense. I mean, the amount of noise from just 14,000 people. It's like you're at a normal game when there's 60, 70,000 people. And it was so amazing.
It's quite a nice stadium as well. It's very open design. Yeah. So
I think you have stadiums like the Allianz Arena, which is like closed up, and you just have a small like space at the top which goes out into the air. Yeah. Except the Estadio do Dragão, I think it's called.
Yeah.
It's just open and it's so nice. You have just the fresh air coming in, especially because Portugal has nice weather. And so yeah.
But did anyone expect Chelsea to win? Anyone?
I mean, obviously. Chelsea fan, got to stick with the team.
I predicted Man City, I have to say.
I guess it has to be kind of like in England and Euros. Like, you want your team to win and you've got to believe in it, you know?
Yeah. We were definitely the underdogs.
Yeah.
Going
yeah.
Not really.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were Man City are...
Man City's just won the Premier League and Chelsea.
I wouldn't say underdogs. Chelsea's still an outstanding team.
But yeah, except...
Even before.
But we've, like, this season, we've literally had a massive rebuilding. Yeah. Getting rid of most of our defence and bringing in a load of new players.
Improved so much.
Do you think that Chelsea are going to try and buy a new striker for next season to kind of like get someone to replace Timo Werner? Because he hasn't been on form.
Holland. They just need to take the pressure off Werner. That is why he's succeeding. There's so much pressure on him to perform, and at the minute he's not doing so great.
Except you can't.
The pressure just keeps building up, and he's not going to improve.
Yeah.
I mean, I think if he performs well in the Euros for Chelsea, he'll be brilliant next season.
Except I think that. It's just, you can't always like put the blame on the pressure, because in the end you have to live up to the pressure. I mean, some of these players who come into the Prem have been absolutely immense, and they've lived up to the pressure and all like the people's thoughts on them.
Yeah.
Except Werner is just, he was amazing in Leipzig, except then he just dropped in Chelsea and just can't score, literally.
Yeah, I mean, they have to take the pressure. They are professional footballers. And so I kind of agree with you, Bafsa, about that.
Yeah, it's their job to deal with the pressure.
Yeah.
All right, so here's a big question. Who was your player of the tournament for the whole of Champions League? So, Leo, should we start with you?
I think it has to be Kante. He put an immense performance, not only in the final, but throughout the entire group stages and the knockout rounds. So, it would have to be Kante.
I've seen videos of him on TikTok, like, tracking back and stuff. An immense player.
The amount of effort he puts in is just immense, and like De Bruyne wasn't anything special in the final, I don't think it can be him.
I agree with you.
Charlie, what do you think about the player of tournament? What do you think?
I might give it to like Rudiger, played really well. I think solid.
But for the whole tournament?
Whole tournament. I think it's got to be Kante. He's such a good player. Yeah. Every game he's something special.
So, are we all agreeing on Kante?
I mean, I have a personal opinion on Lewandowski just because I'm a Bayern fan, but I mean, I understand.
What group stage did Bayern get to?
They did get knocked out, except they had like a lot of injuries. Lewandowski was injured, Gnabry was injured, and you had like the majority of the main team and the goal scorers were injured.
I'd say Haaland played better than Lewandowski the entire tournament.
Lewandowski went out early and scored the most goals.
Haaland is an absolute unit.
Haaland
though.
Scored 10, Lewandowski scored 8.
I think he scored more. Anyway.
But what was it? Pep Guardiola did an interesting strategy for the final, wasn't it? Putting De Bruyne up front.
Not even playing Rodri or Fernandinho.
The false nine formation.
False nine. Yeah. But Rodri and Fernandinho were missed.
He didn't even start Aguero. Like, that was extremely risky strategy. I think he was hoping it paid off.
There was a bit of like arguments. Not arguments, but I'm pretty sure Aguero's dad made a comment on Pep Guardiola saying he was just faking all like the tears when Aguero was leaving. And like he didn't start Aguero on the final as backup. So there was a bit of controversy between Pep and Aguero's dad. Should we move on to the Europa League?
Yeah.
So obviously the Europa League final was a very interesting one.
Surprising as well.
So many chances for each team, and it resulted in penalties.
Going down to the goalkeepers, even
poor David. It wasn't like a bad pen as well. I think it was more good save, penalty save than a bad pen. Because I mean he hasn't had the greatest past season, past couple seasons, and people have started like really like hating on him, and I feel bad for him, especially missing that pen. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised about the amount of hate he's gonna get.
Yeah, I don't rate him too highly. He's made a lot of errors
in his prime
in the past few years. Yeah,
I think he's a good player.
He's a good keeper.
In his
but
prime, he was amazing.
Yeah,
not anymore though.
Yeah,
except
not anymore.
He's not that old. I mean, if you look at it, you have these keepers play a lot longer than a normal player. You have Buffon played until he was about a bit over 40. You have Neuer, who's still at the top of his game. He's around 35. You have a lot of these goalkeepers aren't necessarily that young. And their peak doesn't necessarily end like within a year.
Yeah, but
so I think it's Davids just needs to like get a bit of self confidence again and like start believing in himself.
What was interesting after the final, Rashford got a lot of abuse, racist abuse on social media.
Yeah, there's so much of that going on at the moment.
It's really bad.
Completely unacceptable.
There's like an advert going around, it's like Hope United or something. So that was quite good.
Considering how much he's done for the country as well, you wouldn't expect it, how many people love him.
Yeah.
For how he's fed the children and everything.
Yeah.
You didn't expect it to go to someone like him.
Yeah, I feel bad for a guy. He does. He always tries his hardest for everything, whether it's on or off the pitch, helping with charity or on the actual, in the game and stuff.
Yeah.
So looking at the transfer news recently.
Ooh, yeah.
Chelsea possibly making a move for Haaland. Could be a good...
Yeah.
That is the main target of hers.
Yeah.
I think it would be quite a good move for him. You know, club's just won the Champions League and he'll only make it stronger. So.
Yeah. I think a big transfer at the moment has been Wijnaldum. Like, obviously, everyone thought he was going to Barcelona.
Yeah, you went to PSG.
And then just a few... It was like 2 days ago or yesterday.
Yeah.
He made a move to PSG. Offered him a bigger salary.
They offered him like triple the salary or something ridiculous.
Yeah, but I mean, that's very big.
Classic PSG.
Yeah,
classic.
Just
PSG.
Buy them out.
I mean, Liverpool got Konate though.
Yeah.
Promising young centre back.
Yeah.
What do you think of that, OT?
I reckon, so obviously we've got Gomez and Van Dijk being back for next season from injury. But I reckon we'll see how Konate plays. And I reckon if he does quite well, then him and Van Dijk at the back, two big players who are really good on the field, I reckon those two could be very dangerous next season for Liverpool.
Talking of Barca, they've made so many moves in the transfer market already.
Yeah, with
Aguero, Garcia, Emerson and Depay apparently coming as well.
That would be a good move.
I mean, if they took Wijnaldum, that would be a splash of the cash for them.
Yeah. I mean, on top of it, you have Bayern just sold Alaba to Real Madrid. And they've bought Upamecano from Leipzig. So, I mean, it could be a good replacement, especially because Alaba...
Will he be the same, though? Because Alaba is a very good player.
Yeah, I think Alaba's a leader as well, and is fast. He's a fast centre-back, and he's amazing at crossing and amazing at free kicks, a bit like Trippier.
Just a class player in general.
Yeah, and I think, I think they're also thinking about, like, transferring Ramos to Bayern to kind of, like, avoid the rivalry and clashes in player positions between Alaba and Ramos, especially since they have Varane as well.
Yeah, so I've given everyone a website earlier this week, and it's Euro Predictions, the tournament. And, I think we've all predicted a team to win. So, Leo, let's start with you. Who have you predicted?
100% France. They won the World Cup not too long ago, and they've got a super strong team. So it has to be them.
Where do you predict England to?
I thought they'd get to the final, I think.
Really?
Final against France.
That's optimistic.
Big showdown.
Charlie?
I put England, of course. I was going to put Scotland, but that was a bit unrealistic. Yeah.
A bit too unrealistic for that one.
What about you, Jay?
I went for Portugal.
Portugal?
They're quite a big favourite, because especially they have... Bruno's been amazing this season. And Ruben Dias just got the player of the year from Premier League, wasn't it?
Yeah, Balthazar, what about you?
I mean, I think Germany's going to go to a final and losing against Portugal.
Ooh.
Oh, dear. Okay, yeah, OT?
I mean, personally, it's got to be England. Supporting the country, I think it's coming home this year, and you've got to believe in it. And it'll just be good to have a nice tournament that we can all watch, and it'll just be good atmosphere all around.
Talking of England, we're now all together. Going to pick the strongest England 11. So, let's start off with the keeper. Obviously, Nick Pope, not even in the squad.
Pickford has to be.
Yeah, it
surely
has to be
Pickford. He's got the
experience.
It's him or Henderson, realistically.
Yeah.
I'm going with
Henderson's
Pickford.
The one for the future.
Yeah, so, I think Pickford. Yeah.
I say Henderson, you keep him for like, you put him on for like the small games so he gets a bit of experience, and then maybe you start playing him more in the next World Cup.
Yeah.
Interesting, yeah.
And then centre back. So, wait. Firstly, what formation are we doing?
I think 4-3-3.
I think they're going to play 4-2-3. Five at the back. I think
not doing five, I'd say.
I don't think that's the right call.
It's not the right
manager.
Call, but
with
it's not
all
the right call.
With all the attacking players we have, all the attacking talent.
Yeah, I think we go 4-3-3.
Yeah.
4-3-3, 4-2-3-1, one of those two.
Yeah, one of those two.
So I reckon 4-3-3?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So right back, 100% Reece James.
Yes.
Excellent
100%.
Player. 100%.
I'd put Kyle Walker though, just
nah.
Yeah, but Reece James has just won the Champions League and he played
I'm
like an absolute.
Yeah. I'm saying Cole Walker at
play him at centre
right
back.
And then John Stones and Maguire in the middle.
No, nah. I think Southgate's going to play Walker, personally.
Yeah.
He won't
yeah.
play James because Walker's got the experience. He's played at World Cups.
I mean, sorry, personally, I think like they put Reece James right back, Walker right centre back.
Interesting.
No.
I don't think Walker's a great
He's just fast.
I'd play Walker at right back and then have Stones at right centre back. So you've got the Manchester City link there. Playing together, lots of chemistry.
Yeah.
Then you've got Maguire at left centre back next to Luke Shaw.
Yeah.
And then you've got the Man United Agreed. There. So I'd say that's our back. That's a good back line.
Here's the big big question. Foden or Mount?
Mount. 100%
Mount.
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 Yeah.
Like that pass he did to Havertz in the final.
That was stunning.
Absolutely amazing. Mm. And he played incredible throughout. And he's got the...
Consistency.
Exactly. He's got...
Yeah. Despite his lack of experience, he's just an amazing player.
Yeah.
I think in the midfield then, we want to have attack, but we also have to think about defence. Like
Henderson.
Henderson, I wouldn't say so.
I would say...
I like him as a player.
I like Henderson as a leader. He wouldn't be in the starting, he'd be on the bench.
I agree.
Me, but I reckon...
Declan Rice,
We want someone I reckon like Grealish over Rice.
But we need defence.
We need a CDM.
Because...
Yeah.
I say
you play two like more attacking midfielders and one defensive midfielder. Because, I mean, you have a lot of like defenders you can play.
Yeah. Especially now Ben White's in the squad as well.
Yeah.
So it's just added to the defenders we already have. So I reckon Declan Rice has been brilliant this season.
Yeah, I agree.
In the pivot. And then ahead of him, are we going Mount definitely?
Yeah,
Mount for sure.
Mount
definitely.
Yeah. Are we going Mount and Foden or Mount and someone else?
Do you play Mount Grealish?
I think Mount Foden.
I'd play Grealish at left wing personally.
Because Foden is an excellent player and you need to give him games to get used to playing for his country.
Yeah,
and
at the same time, you also got Rashford. Rashford you could play.
But Foden is so much better than Rashford.
I think you need a more experienced midfield.
Yeah, I'm saying because Mount will go for something spectacular and he'll make it one in every five times, except you need someone who's like more consistent.
I mean, personally, I would have picked James Ward-Prowse ahead of Mount or Foden.
Yeah. Except if he was picked for the squad.
Yeah, it's a shame, really. He's been brilliant.
Because it had an amazing season.
If he was in the squad, I would have taken Mount and then him.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So who are we picking for up front?
Well, Harry Kane, obviously.
Grealish. Rashford.
Yeah, I agree.
I know I'm an Arsenal fan, this might sound biased, but Bukayo Saka.
Don't say Saka.
Come on.
Saka is not good.
I don't like Saka, I'm sorry.
He's not good enough.
He's a good player, but
he's
going to
be good in
even then, I don't know why they chose Saka over Lingard.
Better than Lingard.
He's better than Lingard.
Mm. I like Lingard, though.
Everyone loves Lingard, obviously.
Lingard, yeah.
J-Lings.
Saka.
So... OT with the rugby. What's going on there?
Yeah, well, so obviously the Lions tour is coming up soon. Mm. And there's been some big news recently. So Ireland's Andrew Porter, he suffered a toe injury when he was playing against Glasgow in the Rainbow Cup on Friday. And Carl Sinclair, who was left out of the squad, has replaced him. Which is like great news for quite a lot of people. I think everyone's really pleased for him. Obviously, he was really sad about not making the first cut.
Would you have picked him in the first place over Porter?
Yeah, I would have. Maybe not over Andrew Porter, but I would have picked him in the first squad.
Mm. Interesting.
And then also so Andy Farrell, Owen Farrell's dad. Is set to join the backroom staff for the tour, which will be quite good. He's a really good like speaker, leader, motivational person, and he'll be really good in changing rooms, as well as the captain for the Lions, who is Alan Wynne-Jones, who's like a really great leader, Wales, lock, amazing player, and I think he'll be really good in the changing room, as well as on the field.
Yeah.
Do we have a shot this year at winning, do you think, or?
I mean, I think we do, yeah. I mean, we've got a great team. I think we do.
Who do you think are England's biggest like competitors in this?
England?
England's Lions competitors.
So I think, well, I mean, it's I'm not really, it's against South Africa, so.
Yeah, I reckon Lions have a strong chance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Perfect. Right. move on to the F1 segment then.
Amazing race this weekend, wasn't it?
Beautiful track, Azerbaijan Grand Prix.
It was quite windy. There's a lot of debris kind of going onto the track.
It was a good race, I think. Yeah. Very interesting. Qualifying, big one. Five cars crashing out.
Mm. Yeah, I saw some crashes happening, which looks not very good.
But. Yeah, the fastest street circuit in the world. So
getting pole as well for second time.
Second time in a row. At least he got to race this time.
I mean, in my opinion, this track is much better than Monaco.
Yeah, Monaco's not enough taking over and stuff.
And it was sad for Verstappen though, crashing out.
He was quite far ahead of Perez and Hamilton. I think it was 8 seconds between him and Hamilton, and just out of nowhere, his left rear tire popped. That's the same as Lance Stroll.
Yeah, Stroll had a nasty accident that was left a huge amount of debris. Safety car.
Safety car for both.
But that was, 200 mile crash. But
Stroll hadn't changed tyres yet. He hadn't even had a pit.
Yeah.
I mean, personally, I think he could have gone the whole race without pitting on those hard tyres.
No, not at all. Yeah. Hard tyres can last maybe 30, 40 laps, not 56.
He was on 45 laps and it was a bit less, 41, 42, whatever it was.
Yeah, but Mercedes, completely terrible. Now 26 points behind Red Bull.
Mm.
First time in 56 races that Hamilton did not score any points or was in a point-scoring position.
Yeah.
Verstappen.
It's not going too great for them now.
Verstappen must be so relieved, though, Hamilton making that mistake.
Yeah, Verstappen is taking advantage of it,
Hamilton,
that's for sure.
Hamilton doesn't make many mistakes as well.
No, he's a very consistent driver.
He hasn't been on form with Monaco.
But the Mercedes garage is very split at the minute because for that race, both Bottas and Hamilton were using different rear wings. So maybe that's
driver preference, or they're not sharing
information between each other.
They also had a new power unit for this weekend. Mercedes placed it.
Yeah.
And
they should have taken advantage better, but unfortunately they couldn't.
Bottas, though, recently, he's really been disappointing.
Really disappointing. Managed to get into Q3, but once he was in it, not much.
Will he keep his seat? That's the question.
Yeah.
I think he needs to be starting to worry a bit. But you've got young talents like Russell, Norris, all those people.
Yeah, if Lando comes to Mercedes,
I don't think it'll be Lando because Russell's in the Mercedes Drivers Academy. So he'll be the first call, I think. And I would have him over Lando because he's got into that Mercedes car and almost won the race. So I think I'd have him.
Mm. Good weekend for Aston Martin. With Vettel coming second.
Yeah, starting 11th, getting to second. Really impressive achievement. Good race from him. Finally starting to get to know this car and get to grips with it.
Yeah.
But he does love this track. You know, he's had the top four positions in the last few times he's raced here.
Yeah.
So
it's also Aston Martin's first ever podium.
Yeah. Well, yeah, pretty much. It's classed as a new team, but it's not really. It's using all of the Racing Point facilities. They've just had a rerun.
AlphaTauri, good weekend.
Okay race for Yuki. Decent points for the team. But for Gasly, incredible race from him. Defended well, overtook well, and getting that podium. Really good points for that team.
Did you see the battle between Sainz and Alonso in the first half of the race? And it was just those two kind of fighting between the positions.
Yeah, but Sainz shouldn't really be battling someone in a Renault. Yeah. He's in a Ferrari. Yeah. He should be up fighting for podiums.
I mean, it was a good race from Alonso. Sixth place for him was a very good result.
Yeah, especially for that car. And he's had a few not that great races recently. So seeing this improvement is heartening for him, I guess, because he's made the right choice going back in F1.
A good highlight is Mazepin beating Hamilton.
You love to see it.
Yeah, but he is still a very rookie driver, and he showed that in the last lap trying to overtake his teammate.
I know.
Nearly killed them both. But
I
think he doesn't deserve a seat. I'd have Albon over him any day of the week.
Yeah.
He just needs a bit more experience. And then
I don't think it's that. He's just really?
Yeah.
He's not getting that improvement. I mean, Schumacher was new this year as well, and he was much better.
Yuki Tsunoda was also new. It's his sixth F1 race.
Yeah. And he's never going to be like... I mean, Hamilton, first race in F1, he got podium, wasn't it? He won't be on Hamilton's level ever, but I'd have Albon over him, even if Albon is a bit inconsistent with his...
Yeah.
But Checo put in a very good performance.
Perez.
Holding off Hamilton. the entire race, basically.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, the Red Bull early in the race showed great strategy and a decent pit stop. Yeah, 1.9. Not on their 1.8 level, but still pretty good pit stop.
Yeah, Hamilton had a shocking pit stop. It was like 4 seconds.
Yeah, but he asked because he had to wait because a car was pulling in front of him. No. It wasn't the fault of anyone.
Exactly. Still, that's just unlucky for him because that just
But it was because Red Bull have this new rear wing, which like super flexible, which helps the speed on the straights, which has actually been banned for the next Grand Prix at France. Yeah, so like maybe that... advantage is going to be stripped back and Mercedes will get to winning race.
Yeah.
But McLaren, a little bit better from Ricciardo this week.
Yeah.
Maybe starting to understand this car a bit better, but still not good as he's an excellent driver. But for some reason, he's just not doing great at the minute.
Yeah. Norris, again, fifth place. It's good points for McLaren.
Yeah, he's a really, really good driver. I'm impressed with him this year. He's been given a much better car than previous years.
Yeah.
And he's taking advantage of it.
Ferrari overtaking McLaren, though, in the constructors.
Yeah, that's because two of Ferrari's drivers are doing things for the team, and at the minute, only really one is for McLaren. So and then, Ricciardo needs to step it up a bit, or he could lose
Checo
his seat.
Checo overtaking Lando, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was.
Perez is now, third in the drivers?
I think so, yeah.
Championship, yeah.
But Bottas dropped down miles, but...
Yeah, he's not racing well at the moment after... Yeah.
Yeah. Right, driver of the day, thoughts?
Vettel, it has to be.
Yeah.
He's coming from a bad car. Well, it's not a bad car, it's one of the lower cars there is.
Yeah, comparing him to mid-range car.
Comparing them to a Ferrari or a McLaren or a Red Bull, realistically, they should be beating Vettel in Aston Martin almost every day of the week.
Yeah, but it is his favourite track. I mean, you expect something better if he loves that track a lot.
Despite crashing out, though, Verstappen still had the chance for driver of the day. He dominated that entire race.
I think he probably wouldn't have got driver of the day, but it would have been a good win.
I think Sainz did a good job because he locked up and went into the braking zone and still managed to claw it back a bit.
I think, if it wasn't for the crashes, Sainz wouldn't have had a great position. Because Stroll was in front of him and so was Verstappen.
Yeah, interesting view on it.
I'm going to have to go Gasly for driver of the day, I think. AlphaTauri is not really like one of the big racing names and he still managed to get third, which is...
Well,
to be fair, same as Vettel, as Aston Martin. They haven't had a great car.
Yeah, I mean, Aston Martin's got a bigger budget than AlphaTauri.
Yeah, Vettel, though, he's used to up-and-coming teams. Of course, he started at Red Bull when they were still up-and-coming.
Yeah,
so he's used to being at a team like that.
Yeah.
He's had experience there.
Except, isn't it AlphaTauri is the same engines as the Red Bull cars?
Red Bull, AlphaTauri is the Red Bull second team.
Yeah.
So
it's a relatively similar car.
They tell each other quite a bit.
It's a relatively similar car, and at least they have some sort of kind of like, they know what they're doing and what works and what doesn't. It's Aston Martin's just on their own, that's why I think it's even more impressive that Vettel pulled it off.
Yeah, perfect. Well, thank you everyone for listening. Have a great day.
Thank you guys.
Thank you for watching and listening.